My dearly beloved in Christ, today, during the joyful Christmas season, we celebrate a feast day that is tinged with sadness, because it is the ruthless slaughter of the holy innocents that we call to mind today. And yet we rejoice because they are great saints in heaven. The holy innocents are honored and have been honored by the church for many, many centuries. And in fact, they are considered very powerful intercessors, especially in one's last agony. When death approaches, we should invoke the holy innocents. Father Faber has a section in his wonderful book, Bethlehem, on the holy innocents, and I would like to read two short sections. The first deals with the fact that the holy innocents, the slaughter of the innocents, was a sort of expiation, as he puts it, by the mothers of Bethlehem, the families of Bethlehem, because they did not give our Blessed Mother a place to dwell when she and Saint Joseph came to Bethlehem and her time for delivery was at hand. Father Faber says, "Yet even this dismal scene is a scene of worship. Tragic as it is, it has a quiet side and a beauty, which, blood-stained though it be, is not unbecoming to the meek majesty of Bethlehem. Alas, how the anguish of those mothers that were so inconsiderate to her who was on the point of becoming a mother like themselves, and how the wrathful but more silent misery of the fathers is expiating in its own streets the inhospitality of Bethlehem." One more section from Father Faber deals with the sanctity of these holy innocents. Why are they such great saints? Now, there are two opinions by theologians, and one is that they, of course, being infants, did not have the use of reason, and so therefore did not know why they were being put to death, were not able to understand. But nevertheless, God, in his justice and his mercy, gave them a place in heaven because they died in place of our Lord. It was our Lord that Herod was seeking to destroy, and instead killed all of the boys, thinking he would certainly destroy the newborn king of the Jews. But of course, Saint Joseph had taken our Blessed Mother and the child by night. So there's that one opinion that these innocents of Bethlehem did not know, but were given a place in heaven by God because they died in place of our Lord. But the other opinion, and that which Father Faber himself favors, that is the opinion that God gave them the light of reason, the use of reason, before this massacre, and the grace and the wisdom, the knowledge to know what was about to take place, so that they could willingly accept death for our Lord. And that they did so, and that is why they're given a place in heaven. And Father Faber speaks about this and says as follows: "They were just born, and their mission was handed to them instantly and abruptly, and its fulfillment was death. Yet, in what a sense is it true of all of us that we are but born to die? Happy they who find the great wisdom which lies in that little truth. But there was more than this in their likeness to our Lord. In one way, they outstripped him. They died for him as he died for all. They paid him back the life he laid down for them. Nay, they were beforehand with him, for they laid their lives down for him before he laid his down for them. They saved his life. They put off his Calvary. They secured to us his sweet parables and his glorious miracles." So some beautiful reflections by Father Faber. But we are shocked at the brutality of Herod. Now, this man, Herod, was the king of Judea, and he was called Herod the Great because he was succeeded by at least two of his sons who ruled after him. After his death, his kingdom was divided into four parts, and a couple of his sons ruled over two of those parts. Herod was a gifted man. He was very brilliant, and he built many things. He became the king of Judea, I believe, around the year 37 BC, and reigned for 33, 34 years. During that time, he enlarged and beautified the temple of Jerusalem. He built a whole city, a seaport. He built various fortresses and supplied irrigation and aqueducts to bring water to Jerusalem and to different cities, to all these building projects. But he was excessively cruel and indeed a very wicked man. We are shocked that Herod, hearing from the three magi who came to worship the Christ child, when they came to Jerusalem because the star disappeared and wanted to know where the child was born, they said, "Where shall we find the newly born king of the Jews?" Herod thought, "Well, I'm the king of the Jews, and I don't want to share my kingdom with anyone." And so he deceitfully told the magi, after he learned from the priests where the prophets had predicted that the Christ child would be born, he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, "Go seek for this newborn king. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And we are horrified at this deceitfulness, because he had only one thing in mind, and that is to destroy the supposed rival to his power, to his throne. And it says in the gospel that when he realized he had been tricked by the magi, they had been told by an angel to go back into their country by another way, he was exceedingly angry. And so he gathered his soldiers and sent them to Bethlehem and told them to kill every child, 2 years old and under, every male child in Bethlehem and the surrounding territory. How many holy innocents were there? The common opinion of theologians is that there were some 20 or so, although others have it as many as 70. Be that as it may, it was a horrible massacre. It was a crime that is hard to gauge, the wickedness of this man and his crime. And yet, we see the same thing, and far worse, taking place in our own day, especially since 1973, when the infamous Roe versus Wade decision was made by the Supreme Court and abortion became legalized in this country. We are seeing every year millions of innocents being slaughtered. And who is the Herod that decrees the execution of these innocent children? It is not a wicked king, but it is the very mothers of these babies who decree the death sentence of their own children. Hard to imagine. Herod wanted to destroy the Christ child. Why? Because he was so filled with greed and a lust for power, he did not want to share his kingdom. Do you know that Josephus, the Jewish historian, relates that when Herod came towards the end of his life and knew he would soon die, he ordered to be gathered together a group of noble men of Judea, and that he gave orders that the moment he was to die, they were to be executed, because he feared that no one would lament his death. And he thought, well, at least there will be a loud lamentation when these noble men are put to death by their families, and that will coincide with my death. It's hard to imagine such wickedness. Fortunately for those men, that decree was not carried out. Herod died a horrible death, eaten up by worms, in great pain, and justly, fittingly so, for his many crimes. But again, we see the very mothers of children killing or decreeing the death of their own unborn children. And this crime, this slaughter of the innocents that takes place today, is more egregious for this reason, that these children, their lives are snuffed out before they even see the light of day, and consequently before they can even be baptized. And thus they will never have an opportunity to see the face of God in heaven. What a horrendous crime that calls down for God's wrath upon this world. And these babies are being slaughtered by the millions. In our country, I don't know how many millions since 1973, over a million a year. And that's just in one country. And this crime takes place all throughout the world. And so we must make reparation for the heinous crime of abortion. It's hard to imagine physicians who are sworn to protect life, to do no harm, to seek the welfare of their patients, that there would be any doctors that would agree to perform abortions. So we must mention, by way of protest and horror, the terrible crime of abortion, which has gone on year after year in this country, to the point that we sometimes don't even think about it. We must pray and do what we can to end this horrible evil. But there is another slaughter of the innocents that is taking place side by side with abortion in our own time. And it is the innocence of children that is being taken from them. And it is taken from them by the scandalous displays all across the media and in our modern society. It might be television, movies, music, video games, the indecency, the scandalous things that are brought before the eyes of innocent children, and how many children lose their innocence, and that first grievous sin becomes the first of many that leads to their eternal ruin. That is another slaughter of the innocents that is going on today. And one shudders at the guilt of those who put forth all of this vile so-called entertainment. When we read our Lord's words that it would be better for a man to have a millstone hanged about his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea rather than to scandalize a child, one shudders when he thinks of the responsibility of those who are responsible for this evil, this scandal. So there are many thoughts that come to our mind on the Feast of the Holy Innocents. But let us reflect, finally, on the joyful fact that they are great saints with God. They are intercessors. Holy Mother Church has a beautiful hymn in her liturgy in the Divine Office for this feast called Salvete Flores Martyrum. And I'll read to you an English translation of the first two stanzas of this hymn, which speaks of these little children playing around the altar. We can think of them in heaven, playing around the throne of our Lord. And again, they are powerful intercessors for us. So this is the translation. All hail, ye little martyr flowers, sweet rosebuds cut in dawning hours. When Herod sought the Christ to find, you fell as bloom before the wind. First victims of the martyr band, with crowns and palms in tender hands, around the very altar gay and innocent you seem to play. A beautiful conclusion to our sermon, our reflections on the Holy Innocents. St. Augustine calls them the first fruits, the first flowers of the martyrs. Of all the martyrs of the Christian era, they were the first, and thus they gained, after their very short lifespan, they gained the happiness of heaven, and they will be there for all eternity. May they intercede for us to help us to protect the innocence of our children, to fight off temptation, and to help us make reparation for the heinous crimes committed against children in our time, as Herod committed them against these innocents in their time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.